Welcome to GhostBiz. I'm Gary Strubel. I get to chat to the finance coast every week, find out what's going on the markets that affect us, our investments, our pension funds, perhaps. Ghost, let's start out with a share that certainly would be fair to say the last 5 years has been a bit of a wild ride. We've spoken about it before as well. There's been a nice little rally. Has Sasol finally turned the corner, and should investors be keeping one eye on this marker?
It's great to start with Sasol because, as you say, I think that really has been one of the big stories of the past 5 years, particularly for retail investors. Tons of investors climbed in during the onset of COVID and then proceeded to make a fortune because Sasol literally crashed down to levels where it just looked insane. And it was actually a great example of how sometimes in the market, you mustn't overthink something. And a lot of fund managers who kind of did the hard work and did the analysis said, you know, COVID could actually be the end of Sasol. And a lot of people just closed their eyes and said, nah, you know, that can't be the outcome here. And they made a ton of money from Sasol. However, if they didn't sell a couple of years later, they've then seen that gain absolutely evaporate down to where we are today. So yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride of note. The challenge for Sasol is that ultimately, if you go and have a look at their capital markets day that they held earlier this year, it is very much a story of growth coming from their chemicals business, which has historically been pretty messy. And the chemical sector is very hard to understand and to try and predict what will happen there. Even the people in the sector can barely do it, let alone outside the sector. So it kind of goes into the too hard bucket for me. And then in their oil business and their oil refining business and everything else, that is ultimately linked to the price of oil. And the price of oil, if you have a look over a long-term chart, like 10 years, for example, you will see that the Brent crude price has pretty much gone nowhere from a dollar perspective. So it's very much been a story of, okay, well, the Rand gets weaker. And so in South Africa, then there's an opportunity. But if the Rand doesn't weaken against the dollar as much as it has been, and if the dollar price of oil kind of just stays pretty stagnant, then it's quite difficult for Sasol to actually extract any kind of meaningful growth. And that's why in their capital markets day, they talked about how they are much more dependent really on the chemical side for growth. And they're hoping to just go sideways on the oil side. So that's the broad story. The reason why the share price did well the other day is because of a trading statement that reflects growth in headline earnings per share for the year ended June of between 85% and 100%. So yes, that means that HEPS has almost doubled. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this, but unfortunately, the only one that I think gives an idea of maintainable growth is that they actually saw an improvement in the average chemicals basket price. They had good cost control. So that kind of talks directly to their strategy of what they talked about at their capital markets day. But some of the other stuff included in there will be things like a large settlement that they've won. And that was against Transnet. You know, that kind of stuff is not an indication of maintainable growth. So I don't personally have a position in Sasol. As I said, for me, it just sits in the too hard bucket. I rarely take exposure to cyclical stocks. And unfortunately, Sasol is one of them. But yeah, good luck to those who do. And I think by now, I think you could probably say that the shareholders who jumped in during the pandemic and believed that nothing could go wrong with Sasol have kind of been shaken out of this thing. So I think people are approaching it with more caution, and that's not a bad thing.
Let's talk about another stock that you are personally invested in and quite excited about, and that is Weaver. Now, this stock used to be called Home Choice, and it's interesting because they're now being regarded as a fintech company where traditionally they've been viewed on as a retail company. Just give us a brief oversight of what's happening at Weaver.
Weaver is such a good example of what's in a name. And that's because not much has changed at the company in the past couple of years in terms of their underlying mix. But they've changed their name from Home Choice to Weaver to represent the underlying fintech play, which was also called Weaver. And suddenly everyone is looking at it as a fintech company as opposed to essentially homeware catalog kind of retailer, which is where the Home Choice business was originally built. And the retail side of the business is interesting and is growing, but more than anything else, it's actually just a distribution channel for their fintech products. That's historically been the business model. But what's really changed and what makes them a way more interesting growth prospect these days is that Weaver has probably the best way for anyone to invest in the BNPL trend in South Africa, because there are a number of BNPL providers, but Weaver is a listed company and they own one that is among the market leaders, which means if you like this theme, that's where you would typically go and play. Now, I do like this theme because I think that PNPL is a really useful way for people to pay in South Africa, bluntly. We know consumers are under pressure. We know South African consumers are among the most price sensitive in the world, and they're always looking for ways to stretch their monthly budgets. And BNPL is just such a clever offering because it effectively means, as the name suggests, it's buy now, pay later, BNPL. It does what it says on the tin. You get the thing now, and you pay it off over usually a few weeks, actually. So it's generally designed to just get someone past the next payday, typically. And that's very different to some of the other things, like a credit card, for example, where you actually need to have the card and then you're paying the monthly fees on a credit card, plus you're potentially incurring the interest down the line. So it's really just another way to participate in the payment ecosystem. And I like that model in South Africa. So yeah, so far so good. I mean, the results for the 6 months to June, Weaver's revenue was up 29% and the profit before tax in the fintech segment was good for growth of 46.2%. That tells you that they are now on the right part of the J curve, and that is where you want to own these startup-esque businesses. So yeah, pretty happy with my Weaver stake. Hopefully it works out. The challenge at the moment is that liquidity in that stock is pretty minimal, which means institutional investors can't really participate. So until they can sort that out, unfortunately, it does leave it as being in the realm of retail investors like me and like so many others, and maybe small institutions who are willing to be patient.
Investing is all too often about numbers. And the numbers for Rainbow Chicken look pretty crazy. Headline earnings per share expected to increase by between 214 and 234%. Given the chicken business is quite a large industry, but surely a company can't improve sales by that much. What is happening at Rainbow Chicken that creates such enormous upside?
So the story of chicken is that the chicken industry is not for chickens. That's the easy way to remember it, because the net margins are so insanely tight. So basically what happens is when a company is operating with a profit margin of, you know, let's keep it simple and let's call it 1%. And I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes it gets down to those levels. If your net profit is 1%, that means that for every 100 rand of revenue, you are making 1 rand in net profit. Now, if you have just a small change further up the income statement, let's say your gross margin moves by 100 basis points. So it changes from, I'll just make up a number, 20% to 21%. And everything else on the income statement stays exactly the same. What you've done is you've added 1% to your margins overall. But remember, your net margin was only 1%. So what have you done? You've actually doubled your net margin. Your net margin goes from 1% to 2% with just a 100 basis point change further up the income statement. And that is why you can see crazy, crazy moves in headline earnings per share in companies like Rainbow Chicken. It's definitely not because the business as a whole is growing two or three times in a year. Rather, it's because enough has improved that the net profit margin has improved by two or three times in a year. And that's just because it is so tight that when things do go right for them and you get these incremental gains, and you can, it really does make a big difference. And you can see it across stuff like input costs. You can see it across overall operational efficiencies. Then you've got avian influenza, bird flu, you know, whether or not that's around makes a huge difference to the earnings. You've obviously got the disappearance of load shedding, which has helped. And then you've got finance costs as well, right at the bottom of the income statement. Those do make a difference too. So as quickly as these earnings go up in chicken, they can unfortunately go down. Any one of those things can go the wrong way for them. And unfortunately, bird flu is always a risk. So poultry sector, not really something I participate in. It sometimes feels like gambling, to be honest. Those who do invest in that space, watch it very, very closely in terms of key input prices around what they are feeding the chickens, the pricing that they're achieving for chicken in the market. It's a very complex space, and that's why the earnings can move around like that.
All right, guys, that's what we have time for today. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you again next week. Remember, you can get this episode and all of our previous episodes, and in fact, all of the Business Report episodes, wherever you pick up your podcasts. Just go along, search for the Business Report Namibia, and thank you for making us Namibia's number one business podcast, Apple, Spotify, or Android. We'll be there. You can go to nova.com.na as well. Thanks very much. We'll speak to you next week.